Couple things I just wanted to note by way of announcement. You know that in the bulletin you've got, there are a bunch of announcements in there. I'd encourage you to look those through at some point. Just to highlight a few of them quickly. We've been interviewing for a new church treasurer here at Faith Community. Have interviewed a number of very qualified candidates and have decided that Allie Gamble is the new money person here at Faith Community Church. So if you have money questions, ask her. Also, there are some who find the Christmas season a time of stress and anxiety. Sometimes it's a time to be reminded of loss. And so the Stephen Ministry Program is going to be sponsoring a Blue Christmas that will be this Wednesday following the Common Cup meal at 6:30. If you'd like to be a part of that, it's this Wednesday. Another note that you might want to take note of is that on Friday, we're going to do a movie in the park in here. And we're going to pick a little movie that you probably have never heard of before called Frozen. Let it go! Let it go! Am I warm or am I cold? Let it go! You like that? Let's see, what was the other note I was going to make? There is a community Christmas concert band that's forming that's going to be doing their concert on December 14th, or 2 weeks from today. That'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so if you want to come to hear the community concert band, 2 weeks from today in the afternoon would be the time to put on your calendar. Derek said that I'd like to share a word from Scripture, and I would like to share, you'll recognize this as a part of the Christmas story from the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. We've all heard the Christmas songs that play around this time of year. There are some stores that have started playing them way back in August. I'd like to argue that what we believe is often as affected by the songs that we sing this time of year as it is by the story as it actually appears in the Bible. For example, you know that there are kings that came to the manger, right? How many of them were there? Doesn't say in the Bible, but how many do we all know were there? Three, right? Why? Because there's a song that goes, "We three kings of or." All right, you're going to start the next one. Here's another question. Did Jesus cry when he was a baby? No, right? It doesn't actually say whether he cried in the Bible, but we all know it because there's this song that says, "The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes," right? We could keep going. For example, what time of day was Jesus born? It doesn't actually say in the Bible. In fact, it's very unclear even about what time of year Jesus was born. But we do have this song that says, "It came upon the midnight clear." One more. If you had been in Bethlehem and you had stopped to listen to what was going on, what do you think you would have heard? It would have been quiet, right? Don says nothing. Why? Because it was a silent night, a holy night. All is calm, all is bright. I thought this Advent and Christmas season, it would be interesting to take some of the carols that we all know and love this time of year and take a little bit closer look at them. Where do they come from and what do they say? Back in July, we did a survey of what our favorite Christmas carols are. And so through Advent and Christmas, we thought we'd take a little bit closer look at them. And today I'd like to focus on "O Come All Ye Faithful." If you got a copy of the hymnal and opened it up to 232 or whatever page the O Come All Ye Faithful is on, it would tell you that it was written, words and music, by John F. Wade around 1743. Now, I thought there was a real good, cool story out there about how it was written, but it turns out the accounts are somewhat, they vary a lot. And so here is putting some pieces of it together, what I think I've been able to learn about the song. The earliest known copies of it are signed by John Francis Wade, and they go back to about 1743. He grew up as a Catholic in England. And you may know that the early to mid-1700s were not a real good time to be a Catholic in England. Henry VIII, this is a couple hundred years before that, and the Pope had been in this bitter dispute with each other about what the right true religion was, and King Henry had decided that England was going to go Protestant and so founded the Anglican Church. And so the Anglican Church was in charge. And that was not a real peaceful, calm sort of transition. It was a real lousy time to be a Catholic in England. And so John Wade decided to leave England and he headed towards France. A lot of people in those days couldn't read or write, but they still needed things like important documents copied. And so he was an educated person. What he would do is go around from place to place, from one castle to another, copying important documents. And one of the things a lot of times that needed to be copied was music. He was a person who could read music, and so often as he came to a castle and as he was copying music, he would also give music lessons. What he seems to have done with this song is taken pieces from a variety of different sources, like probably an old French carol and probably some of the liturgy of the Roman Catholic Church, and brought them all together. And he wrote a song that says, "Come all you Catholics," right? Or, "Come all you Protestants," right? "Come all you Methodists," "Come all you Presbyterians." His song went, "Oh, come all you faithful." Do you see how he's trying to take those various pieces and bring them together in something that would help to heal the church and bring it together? "Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him born, the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." He took what was already being done and put the pieces together in a different way. That's what Christmas often does, takes things that are from a variety of places and sources. That's really why we celebrate Christmas this time of year, right? We don't know when exactly Jesus was born, so why do we celebrate now? For hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, there had been a celebration around the end of December to celebrate the winter solstice, the time when the days, instead of getting shorter and shorter and shorter, started getting longer and longer and longer. And that seemed to be very compatible with celebrating the coming of the light of Christ into the world. And so we really adapted that other celebration that had already been going on and brought it together to celebrate the bringing of Christ into the world. Here's my question for you. Is that what finding new life means for you this Christmas season? Maybe there are pieces to your life that you have developed really well, and it's time now to bring them together in a new way. Maybe, for example, you've experienced God's healing this Christmas or this year, but you feel like there's still something more. Maybe the piece that's still missing is that you share that experience with somebody else to help them also find that healing. Maybe you felt like your faith is just a matter of copying what other people told you. And maybe this Christmas season it means bringing that tradition of what other people have taught us together in a new way and deciding for ourselves what we believe. The Greek word for peace has the sense of something that has been broken and then is being brought back together, putting pieces together in a different way. There's an old urban legend, but I absolutely love it. It comes from about 30 years ago. A scientist by the name of Spencer Silver was working on a pressure-sensitive adhesive for 3M Company. He worked on these glues that would be pressure-sensitive and still wouldn't hurt the surface that whatever it is was being glued to. And he did it. He found a very weak adhesive that actually was pretty good at adhering to almost any surface. The problem is it wasn't very strong, and so he didn't know what good it would do. And so he just kind of put his project on the back burner. A couple of years later, there was a guy by the name of Arthur Fry, who was a colleague, also worked for 3M, also in the early 70s, who had a problem. He sang in the church choir. And often he would mark where he was singing with little pieces of paper in the hymnal or the book that they were singing from. The problem is that when he'd move the pages, these little pieces of paper would fall out. He tried to find a solution to that problem. Well, eventually it occurred to him as he was singing in church on one Sunday morning what his colleague, Mr. Silver, had been working on. And he thought, I wonder if I could use that to make markers for my hymnal and for my music that wouldn't slip out all the time. He tried it, and you know what was born that day? The prototype for the Post-it note. He took what had already been worked on and put it together in another way. Let's look at some of the words of the song, O Come All Ye Faithful. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Do you know where in the Christmas story the angels sing? If you were out in a field in Bethlehem, we are told that you would have seen first just one angel singing, and then this is the way the passage read. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. The word for angel, you probably know, actually just means messenger. And so we don't know just exactly what they look like. They seem to have taken on a number of different forms. When Jacob wrestled with an angel, it apparently looked like a human being because he didn't know until the morning that it was an angel that he had been wrestling with. When Abraham invited two strangers to stay for the day, he must have thought they were just people because he didn't know until after they had left that he had entertained angels unaware. And yet when Isaiah has this vision of angels surrounding God in the temple, they're winged heavenly creatures, and so they seem to look very differently. And suddenly in the field outside of Bethlehem, there was not just one, but a whole multitude of angels. Now, I don't know how many there is in a multitude, but we are what, 50, 75 people here this morning? Maybe there were that many angels all of a sudden. Do you wonder what a multitude of angels sounds like? Are you willing to give it a try? In the song they sing, O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. You want to give us started on the right note? Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Yes, maybe it sounded like that. Now, who were they singing to? Who was out in the fields watching their flocks by night? The shepherds, right? What do we know about shepherds? Shepherds were not the high rung in society in those days. They spent most of their days around sheep, which means they would have smelled. Sheep were valuable commodities in those days. And so if you were rich enough to have a bunch of sheep, chances are you were rich enough also to pay somebody else to take care of them. They were the bottom rung of society. And these are the shepherds that are watching their flocks by, which means these are the third shift shepherds. These are the lowest of the lowest rung, the bottom rung of society. Why do you think God thought it was important to include shepherds in the story of Jesus' birth? Maybe to tell me that if you're feeling like you're not the richest or most deserving person, you're also invited to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is for you too. It's a song that starts out, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. If you're feeling really faithful, then chances are you're also too humble to respond to an invitation to the faithful. And so I think what John Wade is doing is reminding us that we are included in that invitation. Come ye joyful and triumphant. I don't know how you're feeling at the beginning of this Advent season, but triumphant isn't a word I'd use to describe myself. I look at all the things that have to be done in the next month. December 25th is going to come whether we're ready or not. I think of all the meetings and the celebrations and the dinners that have to go between now and then. And I'm sure that I'll get to joyful and triumphant, but I'm not there now. It helps me to be reminded that this message is to the shepherds. It's also included to us. There was a wise old rabbi who once asked his students, how can you truly tell the difference between night and morning? How do you know that moment when things change from being dark and it being nighttime to it being daytime and it being morning? One of his students said, I think the time that you can tell the difference between night and day, when you know whether it's morning or not, is when you can tell the difference between a goat and a donkey. If that's clear, then it's morning. Another said, no, that's not right at all. I think it's the time when you can tell the difference between a palm tree and a fig tree. When you can see that clearly, then it's morning time. The answer, though, that has lasted through the centuries is when one of his students said, no, I think both of you are wrong. I think you know that it's morning only when you can look into the face of every man and every woman and every child and see your brother and your sister. Only then have you seen the light. Otherwise, all else is still darkness. Jesus was born so that every one of us, no matter how humble or undeserving, can look into the very eyes of God. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. What did the shepherd say? The shepherd said, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. And so they went in haste, with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said. John Wade captures this in one of the verses of his song, which says, see how the shepherds summoned to his cradle, leaving their flocks, drawing nigh to gaze. We too will thither bend our joyful footsteps. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let who? Us. You and me. God could have appeared in the obvious places in those days, which would have been Jerusalem or Rome or Cairo. But instead, Jesus was born in an out-of-the-way little town called Bethlehem. As if to say that God will come most of the way on his own, but then God expects us to come part of the way in his direction. If you're here this morning, then you've taken some big steps towards coming towards God. My question to you now is, will you take a couple more? This season, I am sure that there will come a time where you will hear God saying, come over here, take a look, I have something to show you. Will you take a couple steps in God's direction? You're probably going to think at the time, I have a really tight schedule. I've got things that need to be done. I've got a dinner party and I've got a bunch of shopping that I need to do. But you'll hear God whispering, come over here. Take a look at this. Will you see this in a new way? Maybe it'll be around a creche or a manger scene. You will have put it up every year, but this year you'll hear God saying, come over here, take a look at this. And you'll see something new in the manger scene that you haven't seen before. Or you will hear a song that you've heard 1,000 times before, maybe in a store that will break through and you'll hear the words in a different way. Or maybe you'll be about to fall asleep at the end of a really boring sermon and suddenly a word will break through and you'll find the answer to a question that you hadn't been, that you'd been wondering about before. Or you'll find some sense of peace that you know you couldn't have created on your own. There was a pastor by the name of Tom Shipp who pastored a church called Lover's Lane United Methodist Church in Dallas, Texas. I love the fact that there is a Lover's Lane United Methodist Church somewhere in this world. It just happens to be in Dallas, Texas. He was the founding pastor of the church back in the 1940s and was a beloved pastor for 31 years. One night, though, he was in a committee meeting at the church and had a massive heart attack and died there in that meeting. The church grieved his loss and struggled for years to find somebody that could fill his place. Nobody seemed to be quite good enough, and so they struggled for a number of years to find somebody to take his place. 21 years later, a guy by the name of Stan Copeland was appointed there. And he wanted to find a way to both honor this great pastor of their past's memory, but at the same time challenge them to be a church to their day and their time. One of the things that he did is he learned that Mr. Shipp had recorded his sermons in a dictaphone, and that he had been two-thirds of the way through writing his last sermon when he died. He got a hold of the tape of that sermon and decided, what if we'd finish that sermon? And so he finished the other third of the sermon and preached it, and he called the sermon a sermon from the other side. He took the message that had been formed for the church decades before and then made it speak to the world that they were a part of. Isn't that, don't you think, what John Wade is doing in this song, O Come All Ye Faithful? He's taking the timeless story of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem and asks us to put ourselves in the story, to see ourselves as shepherds and kings who are looking into the very face of God and allowing ourselves to be forever changed. I'm kind of enjoying this time to look more deeply into some of the Christmas carols. Next week, we're going to continue that tradition, and we're going to look at the song Joy to the World. So if you want to find out more about the song Joy to the World, next week is going to be the week to do it. The week after that, I want to give you fair warning, we're going to try something we've never tried before. The kids have been working on a cantata, and so that Sunday we're going to focus on the song very briefly, What Child Is This?, but mostly the Sunday morning is going to be about celebrating the kids. They're going to do a play, a cantata, called Away in a Manger. And so I'm hoping that we're going to do it as one combined service at 11 o'clock, so we're all going to be together 2 weeks from now in the sanctuary for the 11 o'clock service. I also wanted you to know that on Christmas Eve, it's going to be before we know it, we're going to do two services that will be pretty much identical at 6:30 and at 10 o'clock. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore. O come, all ye faithful.